Well, welcome to Local Matters. We are talking about education matters today, and our special guest is Mark Wilson, the Director of Intercollegiate Athletics at Tennessee Tech University. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Bob. Happy to be on with you today.
Well, we're delighted to have you, and I think it would be hard for me to believe that most folks in town have not met you. But talk just a minute about your role as Director of Intercollegiate Athletics.
Well, I am blessed that you hired me way back in 2004 to come serve Tennessee Tech.
And it's been that long.
It's been a long time, but I am still honored to be able to serve our community and our university and certainly our students at Tennessee Tech as the leader of Tennessee Tech Athletics. Of course, my responsibility is everything related to athletics in our 14 varsity teams that compete at the NCAA Division I level. Whether it personnel with our coaches and staff, or scheduling, or facilities, or marketing, or ticket sales, or NCAA compliance, sports information, video production, strength and conditioning, athletic training, you name it.
It's a pretty complex organization, isn't it?
It is very, very, very complex, and I think most people, if they knew what went on behind the scenes of a Division I athletic program, whether it be, big like the University of Tennessee or the University of Alabama, or small like Tennessee Tech, I think they'd be amazed of what has to go into the organization.
Yeah, even just traveling for a football game, there are volunteers involved, but there's a lot of staff involved, too, in getting that team and all its equipment and all its support to wherever it's going that particular weekend.
It is complex. When you think about traveling, 100, we typically travel 70 student-athletes and the coaches and the managers and the filmers and the athletic trainers. When you put that together, it's typically about 100 people that travel on three buses. And when you're flying, it makes it even more complicated. And, you have to organize, hotels and meals and practice times. And you have to get from point A to point B in the time that you estimated. So it is complex, but we have really good staff that have done it. Our coaches, we put a lot of that under our coaches. Our coaches do a lot of our own travel because we are a very small administrative staff. But they have good experience in doing it. And sometimes, you've got to have a little flexibility. And, sometimes the schedule doesn't go quite as you anticipate. But you eat a little humble pie and you move on and you make adjustments and you get ready for the game that you're traveling to play to represent Tennessee Tech and to represent all of our alumni worldwide.
But it's such a great experience for students to get to travel with their coach and with their athletic director and sometimes with a pretty good fan base to go to some pretty neat places. I remember Gloria and me getting on the plane with you and Coach Brown one day when the football team was going to Iowa, and Gloria was Coach was really nice to escort her on first, and so we were sitting up near the front of the plane, and she was just amazed at these monstrous young men, just great big bulking young men that were coming on the plane. And Watson looked across the aisle and winked at her and said, "Miss Bell, when we get out there and the pilot revs up the engines for takeoff, you turn around and look at those guys. They're going to be wanting their mama."
How true that is. We provide a lot of first-time experiences for young men and young women. And it's not just in travel, it's in success that they have academically, it's the success they have athletically, it's being a part of a team in a way they've never been part of a team before. Some of it may be travel, it may be a first-time experience serving the community, but we do provide a lot of first-time experiences. One of the thrills is on their first flights, some of it's their very first flight, and to see the faces when the plane takes off or when the plane lands, because they've not been on flights before. And we do try to provide unique experiences, teams try to travel regularly as long as we can work it into our operating budget. Women's basketball, they have fundraised over the course of this year, and if the pandemic allows it over Thanksgiving weekend, they will be representing the purple and gold in Puerto Rico in a tournament that they're scheduled to play in. So hopefully we can continue to manage through the pandemic like we have. and be able to provide them that opportunity, which is really, I mean, that could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for some of those young women.
That'll be an experience they never forget.
Yes, yes.
And that's just great. Well, you mentioned women's basketball. Let's talk about parity for a moment in women's and men's sports. It's an NCAA requirement, but at Tech, it's still pretty close to 50-50. It's a little high and low of that each year, but it's a balance between men and women, isn't it?
It is. You know, we are so fortunate that we are one of just a, you know, a dozen or so Division I athletic programs in the country that is in full compliance with Title IX. And what that means is that our participation rate of student athletes is within one percentage point of the undergraduate student population from the previous year. At Tennessee Tech, that's been, you know, 46% or 45% female, bouncing back and forth there to, you know, 54 to 55% male. So our student-athlete population is that same way. We budget our scholarships that same way. All the other services that we offer are gender-neutral. But we do try to put the, you know, if we can hire a female head coach, then we like to do that and have female leaders in our community and for our student-athletes. But athletic training, strength and conditioning, nutrition, sports information, all of that, you know, we work very hard to be gender-neutral. So, you know, we support, you know, both genders. Of course, women's basketball, that's been the most successful program that we have had. This year, we're actually going to be doing the formal celebrations of 50 years of women's basketball at Tennessee Tech.
Wow.
We were actually supposed to celebrate that during the 2021 season, but due to the pandemic, we delayed that to the 21-22 season. So in the I think it's the home opening OVC series in January is that we're going to celebrate that 50th anniversary and have a big event that night with all of our alumni back on a Friday night. Got a home game on Thursday, home game on Saturday, and have people back because women's basketball, going back to when Marinelle Metter started the program, just has been so highly successful. And we plan on her being here for the event and Coach Worrell and all the former coaches that hopefully can come back and join us. And hopefully all of the women's basketball student athletes will come join us because 50 years is just a tremendous accomplishment.
That really is. And it's hard to believe there's that much history. But it's been a great history, too, in the case of women's basketball. So, but basketball and football aren't the only sports that Tech plays. It's a pretty wide range of NCAA Division I sports.
It is. We do offer a nice variety of Division I sports. I know we get requests lots of times for us to add sports, but we're trying to be the best that we can be in the 14 sports that we sponsor. And, of course, those 14 sports, we've already talked about football, men's and women's basketball. Then we have men's cross-country, women's cross-country, women's indoor track, women's outdoor track, volleyball, which is a women's sport, soccer, which is a women's sport. We have tennis, which is a men's sport, baseball, softball, then men's golf, women's golf. Those are the 14 sports that we proudly offer at Tennessee Tech.
And again, those balances, they balance with the composition of the student body in terms of the percent of men or women playing in the sport. And so that's an NCAA requirement. Not a lot of schools make it, but Tech has been one that's been recognized nationally for that.
We have, and that was a thrill when you and I had the opportunity to go to New York City and go to HBO Studios and be recognized by Billie Jean King from the Women's Sports Foundation.
One of my heroes.
Yes, and that was an even greater thrill.
It was.
But to receive one of the inaugural participation awards from the Women's Sports Foundation. It was certainly tremendous recognition for us to be on the stage there with Purdue University, Washington State University, and then the University at Buffalo in New York. So just tremendous. That was just tremendous company for us to be on, and we take great pride in that. And I inherited that as the director of athletics, and my job has been to maintain that and to be committed to that, and which we have been. And all of our coaches and athletic staff have been, along with the support from you as university president, now Dr. Phil Oldham as university president.
Absolutely.
Been very supportive of that.
But we need to recognize Dr. Angelo Volpe and Dave Larimore when he was AD. They did a lot to embed that parity in Title IX in the sports program. So it is one that's a legacy for many years of work.
It is a great legacy, and I mean, I applaud them. You know, at that point in time, they figured out a way to become compliant, but fully fund all the scholarships and all the 14 sports that we have. So I think that's a tremendous advantage for Tennessee Tech. And it certainly was an advantage early on. You know, we've been fully committed to scholarships, a full allotment of NCAA scholarships in all those sports for a long period of time. And I think that's an advantage, competitive advantage in recruiting and for our coaches to be able to recruit student athletes and recruit the very best student athletes to wear the purple and gold and to allow you to cheer for.
Well, and I know you talk to student athletes every year, and you basically, I remember you saying to them, we want you to get two championships here, one a championship ring in your sport, but also a diploma, a degree. And that's really important in Tech athletics, isn't it?
It is. It is most important. The degree that they receive from Tennessee Tech is the most important thing that they can do. That needs to be their number one personal goal when they sign up to be a student athlete at Tennessee Tech. And that's the number one goal I have for all of them. And you're absolutely correct. We say when you walk across the stage to shake the president's hand to get your diploma, which will be in your left hand, we want you to shake his or her hand with a championship ring on your right hand. And that's our goal. And if we don't aspire to that and publicly say that and say that to them, then you can't achieve it. So we say it. We say it loud and proud, and we work to achieve it.
We're talking to Mark Wilson, the director of intercollegiate athletics at Tennessee Tech, and we'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Mark Wilson, the athletic director at Tech. And Mark, we were talking just before the break about the talented group of students that we have as student athletes. I know you always tell them they're students first and athletes second. We call them student athletes, but they're good in the classroom too, aren't they?
They are. They're very good in the classroom. They're excellent students. And gosh, I think we're going on like 17 or 18 consecutive semesters with the departmental GPA being above a 3.0. Typically, 11, 12, 13 of our teams have above a 3.0 grade point average.
Wow.
Which is tremendous, and we're extremely proud of that. We are highly accountable for academic success. We have the federal graduation rate for student athletes. We have the NCAA graduation success rate, and then we have the NCAA academic progress rate. So we are highly accountable. We do a great job on all of those different metrics. Some years better than others. There does ebb and flow some.
Sure.
But we do watch those because those are metrics we look at to know that we are meeting the goals that we have of academic success leading to graduation, because that's what's going to allow our alumni, student-athlete alumni, to be successful in life after Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, most of them will not go on to a professional athlete's career, but they're going on to a professional career.
They are. They are. And, we say, there's an NCAA thing, and we believe this in Tennessee Tech Athletics, you're going to go pro in something other than sport. And if I think about, young men, young women from my time as director of athletics at Tennessee Tech, we had Frank Omial, who played 10 years in the National Football League, and then we have Scott Stallings, who's had a wonderful career on the PGA Tour. But other than that, we have not had any professional athlete that has had that long a tenure of those two. Now, we do have a Major League Baseball player right now, David Hess, who is a pitcher, and he was with the Baltimore team, and I think he got traded either Tampa Bay or Miami, but I don't know sitting here right now.
Either.
So he's from Tullahoma, Tennessee, but he's starting to get into some length of his professional career. So proud of them. But most of them do not. If you think we have approximately 325 student athletes on an annual basis, and then off the top of my head, I can think of three that have had long, you know, professional tenures. Then that's pretty good. Now, we do have some men's basketball student athletes that played overseas for a number of years, but that kind of ebbs and flows. So they really need to fall back on their Tennessee Tech degree.
And we can name many, many student athletes who played baseball or played football or whatever and then went on to be very successful in their careers. Well, some were teachers, some were high school principals. Some became commander of the International Space Station. So Butch Wilmore was not just a good football player. He was a pretty good electrical engineer, too.
I think he was a great electrical engineer. And you think that, I mean, there are currently three former student athletes that serve on the Tennessee Tech Board of Trustees, you know, with Fred Lowry, Thomas Lynn, and, Butch Wilmore. So, that I think that's remarkable. It shows the leadership skills that they have. It shows that they were excellent students. And they've had a degree from Tennessee Tech that's allowed them to excel in their professional career. And then they also played sports, and they're also all really good athletes.
And that's a balanced student life. That's great that they were able to play a game they loved and also do really, really well in the classroom. And I had Thomas Lynn as a student, so I know he was a good in the classroom.
Yes.
And went on to be chairman of the board of First National Bank. So, again, they're going to go pro on something and hopefully do well. Well, we mentioned Barry Wilmore very quickly, but Barry has the distinction of winning an award that no other Tennessee Tech athlete has won from the NCAA. But what a great career. An electrical engineer and then a master's degree in engineering, then going on to the Navy and becoming a Navy captain and an astronaut. Tell us what the NCAA did to honor Butch Wilmore.
Well, we nominated him for the NCAA Theodore Roosevelt Award, and that's the highest award that the NCAA can bestow upon a former student-athlete. It means they were an excellent student-athlete. They've had this distinguished professional career. And their professional career has oftentimes been dedicated to public service, which as a Navy captain and working with NASA, he certainly has embodies that. He was the first ever and only Tennessee Tech student athlete to win that award. He's also the first ever and only Ohio Valley Conference student athlete to win that award. So just a tremendous recognition for him. And I think those are some things when I look at individual awards. That's a tremendous individual accomplishment for Barry Wilmore, but it's a great accomplishment for Tennessee Tech and the Ohio Valley Conference to have a recipient of that when you think of all the NCAA members, Division I, II, and III, that are eligible for that award throughout the entire United States. It's tremendous, and that makes me think about another award, the Ohio Valley Conference Steve Hamilton Award. Which is it's a sportsmanship and athletics and who you character award. Our third student athlete in our history earned that award for his work during the 2020-21 academic year, and that's football and men's basketball student athlete Jamal Thompson. So very proud of Jamal for earning that. He was the third student athlete. Grant Swallows, a quarterback on the football team and a baseball student athlete, was the first recipient of that award we've had from Tennessee Tech, and we had a softball student athlete by the name of Beth Bowden. So to think of there's only three have earned that, it's really quite an accomplishment, and we're so proud of Jamal. We recognized him earlier in the year at a football game for earning that recognition.
Well, that's pretty cool, and Grant Swallows has gone on to become the director of schools in Warren County, and good Livingston native,
and Beth Bowden's a civil engineer, I think, in her home state of Wisconsin, someplace. So, all successful, Jamal is in grad school and the Tennessee Tech College of Education this year.
Well, that's great. That's great. It's fun to talk about these folks and know that you can be out there watching a young man on the at Tucker Stadium or a young lady in the hoop, and there might be another one who goes on to become commander of the International Space Station, like Butch Wilmore did.
Yes, I think you know, they dream about success, academic success, and professional success, and I think some of that has changed now. I mean, social media has changed it tremendously, and the new forms of business that that our student athletes are looking at. But we will have lots more famous student athletes that will graduate from Tennessee Tech.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the new forms of business. The NCAA has gone through some rather landmark decision making here in the last year. So talk a little bit about that, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk more about it. But go ahead and introduce the subject.
So there's a variety of subjects, but serves as name, image, likeness, so allowing a student athlete to profit off from their own name, image, likeness. That's number one. Number two is the NCAA did lose a landmark case that was called the Alston case that was related to educational benefits that can be provided from an institution. And then there were some ties of that to name, image, likeness. And, of course, now the NCAA is going through a review, and they will have a constitutional convention coming up this year. So I think there's a lot of soul searching going on what the NCAA is. And, you know, I know that at Tennessee Tech, we still hold true to the amateur model. We don't make a profit in any one of our sports. There's not a single sport, not football, not men's basketball, not baseball, not women's basketball, that actually turns a profit. We are supported by Tennessee Tech and the students of Tennessee Tech as an outreach arm, as a source of pride to represent the university and the community in intercollegiate athletics competition. So we still are true to the amateur model that the NCAA has been built on, but certainly that has changed for many, many institutions and, you know, a few of the really large conferences.
And we're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk a bit more about sort of where the NCAA is going to go next. This is Local Matters. We're talking to Mark Wilson, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We're talking to Mark Wilson. And, Mark, before the break, we were talking about some of the big changes at the NCAA level. And you've served on committees and boards at the NCAA. Talk a little bit at the personal level and at the Tennessee Tech level. How do these things affect a school like Tech the most?
Now, that's a great question, Bob. And it is hard. I mean, there's different institutions and different conferences that have different philosophies. A lot of it's related to the level of funding that that we have that's available to us to support student athletes and to field Division I, you know, teams. And a lot of it has been because student athletes have felt, you know, taken advantage of in the course of their playing careers at NCAA member institutions. And that's one of the things we have to remember. The NCAA is a member-driven institution. There is a vote. It is weighted voting. The voting of the power conferences, the conferences like the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12. You know, the Pac-10 or Pac-12 now, and then the Atlantic Coast Conference. You know, they do have weighted voting in some of those things. So it's a challenge to stay true to some of the things that are near and dear to Tennessee Tech's heart. But we do believe in fair play. We do want access to NCAA championships. We do want to receive. A fair share of the NCAA pot that is generated through championships. And, of course, the NCAA money, the majority of it is generated, vast majority, maybe 85, 90%, maybe even higher than that, is generated through the men's basketball March Madness with their television contract with CBS. And we want access to that championship for the Ohio Valley Conference, and we want it so when Tennessee Tech men's basketball has a good year or tennis has a good year, you know, we want to be able to, you know, compete for a national championship. And, for a national championship, are the bricks weighted against us? Yes, they are. But we still want that opportunity because we want the opportunity to compete and represent Tennessee Tech, the alumni of Tennessee Tech, and the Cookeville Upper Cumberland community in athletics competition.
And when you're recruiting those students, you want to be able to tell them that they're going to have that opportunity.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And of course, then the name, image, likeness that we touched upon, that does allow, you know, student athletes, they didn't used to be able to teach their own camp or clinic or use their own name, image, likeness in anything that was an NCAA violation. That has been changed now. But there's a tremendous amount of pressure on our compliance staff because they need to be notified of that. They need to monitor that. We can't advise them on it. We can't give them financial advice, legal advice, contractual advice. We just can monitor that. But we do have some student athletes that have begun to take advantage of that, that they have some marketability, personal marketability of themselves. We do see a lot of that with social media things now with them. You know, posting on social media if they have a high number of followers. That's been the majority of the activity that we've seen at Tennessee Tech. We've seen others. I know earlier in the opening weekend of college football, you know, we saw, a Clemson student athlete in a Dr. Pepper commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different for every student athlete and different for every campus on how that'll be utilized, but it is the right thing to do to allow student athletes to be able to use their own name, image, likeness for their personal financial gain.
And that'll probably evolve some over the next few years as the NCAA gets some experience with it, right?
Yeah, it'll evolve. The NCAA is nearly out of it. They've put it back onto the member institutions. It's permissible and. You know, I don't think we're getting a lot of guidance from the national office on that now because they have put it back to the member institutions. But I think you'll see that beginning to continue to evolve and change over time. And then we'll see what the marketplace is for, you know, student athletes in general. I know we had student athletes, all of a sudden they thought they were going to sign a, you know, $100,000 deal and they were contacting all these people and then they got nothing, you know. So I think it is some of it's humbling for student athletes.
Yes.
They think they're more marketable than what they personally are. Those are probably good life lessons that they're learning and having the opportunity to learn now.
It'll be interesting to see how this evolves over time. And speaking of those challenges in NCAA life, what other challenges are you looking at this year and next? Just sort of in the near future, what kind of challenges do you see coming at Tech Athletics?
Yeah, well, the challenge we continue to go through right now is the pandemic. We're having to continue to operate in a pandemic environment. If you'd asked me in May, June, and early July, I would have said, no, I think we're going to be operating like it's 2019 again. Well, obviously, I was very wrong at that because we are having to operate in a pandemic environment with testing and of those that are not vaccinated and trying to keep our student athletes, coaches, and staff, healthy and safe. And we've encouraged vaccinations. We've not mandated that. But, of course, that could always change. You just never know how things can change. But it's we're having to operate with that. Financially, it's going to be a challenge. Our costs are escalating at a tremendous rate. So that's a continual challenge for us. Staffing is always going to be a challenge at a small place like Tennessee Tech and keeping staff and not turning staff over because we do have a tendency to burn out our staff you're small. So when you think about all the events that we have, I mean, there's some of our staff. They work, 7 days a week, 16, 18, sometimes 20 hours a day, which is I do worry about them. I worry about that burnout with them. So that'll continue to be a challenge, but those are things it's not a new challenge for us. We'll continue to work through it. And we know we're just fortunate to be able to work in Tennessee Tech Athletics, work at Tennessee Tech University, represent this outstanding university and our student body, and certainly the alumni of Tennessee Tech. And I know we take great pride every time that we step on the field of the court, to be able to wear the purple and gold and try to earn a victory for all those that we represent.
It is fun to watch them go out, and they can feel that they're representing not just the student body, but the legacy in their particular
Yeah,
sport.
And one thing to think about, Bob, is that one of the things when I started working with you is to enhance the football program at Tennessee Tech, and we were able to do that, culminating in Watson Brown earning a championship for. And those student athletes in 2011, this year we celebrate the 10th anniversary of that team already. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is hard for me to believe it. I have a football with 2011 sitting at my house, but it is hard to believe it's been that long.
Yeah, 10 years goes by so fast. And
yeah.
I think about, you know, the Hall of Fame selection committee has already met for this year's selections that will recognize that at homecoming, and five outstanding individuals, and they'll be coupled with the four individuals that were a part of the 2020 class. But now I'm starting to see student athletes that played when I was here as the director of athletics be recognized. So it's tremendous. But I'm like, boy, gosh, I'm getting old, you know. But
I understand. I relate to that. Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about how the pandemic has affected last year's seniors, but also seniors in high school from a recruiting perspective.
So last year, everybody that played in sports, so it would be the spring sports of 2019, so baseball, softball, golf, tennis, outdoor track, they were all received an additional year of eligibility because their seasons were impacted. And then the fall sports of 2020, the winter sports, men's and women's basketball for us, and the indoor track of the 2020-21 season, they all received additional years of eligibility. So then our coaches have to manage through that, and with their roster management and the scholarships that they have, and are they returning, are they not returning? Because a lot of these young men and young women, they've graduated, they're ready to move on to graduate school, a professional school, or get a job. So that's a thing for the coaches to manage. But we do have a lot of young men, young women that have returned for that extra year of eligibility. So that means there's less opportunities for high school, seniors, juniors, kind of even filter back some to sophomores and freshmen. There'll be less opportunities for young men and young women that may have had the opportunity to come to Tennessee Tech and be a part of a team. But as we manage our rosters and look at the scholarship dollars that we have, or the operational dollars, and how big our rosters can be and that we can afford to have, there'll be some young men and young women that don't have those opportunities that would otherwise. And certainly that's disappointing, but it's just the nature of the business and how the pandemic has just affected everything in the world.
And it's pretty much system-wide across the NCAA, isn't it?
It is. NCAA, yeah. NAIA, just, athletics in general. Because you think, yes, Tennessee Tech, we compete at the highest level of intercollegiate athletics at Division I, but there's also Division II. And I have a daughter that plays Division II soccer, and then there's Division III that's also NCAA, and then you have NAI, and then you have other schools that are part of different organizations, some of them religious-based or whatever, that also sponsor sports. So, I mean, there's a tremendous trickle-down.
Well, maybe we'll have a chance to talk before this year is over without talking about the pandemic. That'll be fun.
I pray that we do.
I do too. As we wrap up, tell me what, from your perspective, the most fun thing about being an athletic director is.
My greatest thrill, my greatest internal happiness and feeling that I get is when I see our student athletes walk across the stage and earn their degree. Because I do feel like that is the ultimate responsibility of my job. Yes, everybody wants to win championships. I want our student athletes to have the thrill of an Ohio Valley Conference championship. But graduation, that's when I get like the most pride in our young men and our young women, especially in a young man or young woman that may have struggled when they first came to Tennessee Tech or struggled throughout their career. But for them to be able to work so hard to be able to walk across that stage and earn their diploma, that is the greatest sense of pride that I always have. And just talking about it with you here in the radio studio, the hair standing up on the back of my neck, thinking of young men and young women right off the top of my head that I'm so proud of and, for their academic accomplishment.
Mark, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me on, Bob. And wings up, everyone.
Wings up. We've been talking to Mark Wilson from Tennessee Tech.